We begin the current daf Masechtas Brachos, daf Yud Gimel. We begin on the bottom of daf Yud Beis and Beis on the bottom. We begin the last Mishnah in the first parak Masechtas Brachos. It's a continuation of the theme of the first two parakim Brachos, discussing the Brachos and the Parashas of Krishma. So this is the famous Mishnah, which is mentioned in the Haggadah and the Seder night. Maskirin Yitzis Mitzrayim Balelos. We mention Yitzis Mitzrayim at nighttime, which is, this is the Parashah of Tzitzis and Krishma, that even though Laila, the evening time, is not the zman of tzitzis, as it says in the pasuk, "Re'isam la'isaruscharetem," that you should see the tzitzis and remember them, which is only during the daytime. However, we say it at night because of the parasha of Yitzis Mitzrayim, which is in the parasha of Vayomer, which is called the parasha of tzitzis. So we mention Yitzis Mitzrayim as nighttime. So the Mishnah continues that Amr Belozer ben Azariah, "Harei ani kiven shivim shana," I am 70 years old. That although he was really very young, but he already looked like he was old, but not Mizakin Mamish, wasn't really an old person. What happened was is that, the elder age overtook him because they had removed Rabbi Gamliel from his Nasiyas, from being the Nasi in Kalai. So when they appointed Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah as a Nasi, as the Gemara in Perek Tfilas HaShachan, Daf Chavches, says that he was really younger, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nest, that his beard got white hairs, and he looked like he was older. So he says, I'm 70 years old. However, I did not merit that the halacha should be instated that we say Yitzis Mitzrayim by night, until Ben Zayma, he made a drasha, and Rashi says that this was that day when they had appointed him, he made a drasha on this pasuk, Shenema, it says in the pasuk, Ben Zayma said, that you should remember the day you left Mitzrayim, all the days of your life. Kol yimechayecha. So he made a following drasha. Yimechayecha hayomim. When it says the days of your life, it means the days. Kol yimechayecha. What does it mean, all the days of your life? That's coming to include halelos, the evenings. And he was the one that made the drasha that we should say Yitzis Mitzrayim even at nighttime. V'chacham ma'ar ibn Chum argue, and they say the following drasha. Yimechayecha ho'il ma'zeh. The days of your life means this world. Kol, the addition of saying all the days of your life is lahavi l'maisa Mashiach, comes to include, to bring the days when Mashiach will come. Even then we'll mention the topic of Yitzis Mitzrayim, but not that it comes to say the evening, to say the parasha of Yitzis Mitzrayim even during the evening. Now the Gemara discusses this machlekes. Tanya, learn the Braisa. Amalem ben Zemel Chacham, ben Zemel said to the Chacham, maskirin Yitzis Mitzrayim l'maisa Mashiach, do you really think that we're going to mention the Exodus, leaving Mitzrayim, when Mashiach will come? But there's already a pasuk that says as follows: Hinei yamim bo imnu Hashem. Hashem says days will be coming. V'lo yomru oid, and it won't be said anymore. Chai Hashem asher helas b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. That Hashem is the one that lives. That he's the one that took us out of. They took out the Jewish people from Mitzrayim. Then that's not what's going to be said anymore. Kiim, rather, what's going to be said is Chai Hashem. That Hashem lives. Asher hela that he took up. V'asher hibi ezera b'is Yisrael me'eretz Tzafon. That he brought all the children of Klai Yisrael from the northern lands. U'mikol ha'rotzah is asher dachtim sham. And from all the lands that I dispersed them from. So we see that fakir, that when Mashiach will come, there won't be any more mention of Yitzis Mitzrayim. It's going to be the new geula, the new wave, so to speak, of when we took out from all the gullus and all the world when Mashiach will come. That was what we're going to mention. But Yitzis Mitzrayim won't be mentioned anymore. So how can you say that we're going to mention Yitzis Mitzrayim even in the day of the Mashiach? So Amaloi, they said to him, Loi shiti aki Yitzis Mitzrayim imkayma. The pasuk doesn't mean to say that it's going to totally uproot the mention and the remembrance of Yitzis Mitzrayim from its place. Rather, what's going to be the main idea that we're going to remember about the greatness of Hashem is that He took us out of the different galusim that we're in, galus Edom, from the entire world, and Yitzis Mitzrayim will be secondary, but it will still be mentioned, and therefore that's a kol yimechayach is coming to include Yimayis Mashiach, that we're still going to be mentioning Yitzis Mitzrayim, although it's not going to be the main idea anymore. And they bring a riot to this. And the simile is the same type of idea as it says in the pasuk, Le'ikari shimcha oid Yaakov, kiim Yisrael yishamecha. That Yaakov got this bracha that his name is not going to be called Yaakov anymore. Rather, his name is going to be Yisrael from now on. So we would continue on to Daf Yud Gimel on the top. And the halach is that Lo'ishi Yaakov Yaakov him claim. It's not that his name was now uprooted totally. He's not going to be mentioned Yaakov anymore. As we find many times that Kadosh Baruch Hu calls him Yaakov after this. When he goes down to Mitzrayim, Hashem says, Vayomer Elokim LeYisrael, Vayomer Yaakov Yaakov, Vayomer Hineni. So we see, although Hashem had already told them, your name's not Yaakov anymore, rather it's Yisrael, but we see later on he does call him Yaakov. So rather, what's the pshat? El Yisrael Iker B'Yakov Tofel. I rather that the main name now became Yisrael, and that's what we're called the B'nai Yisrael. And Yaakov became a secondary name. V'cheinu Eimer. And similarly, we find a pasuk like this: Al Tizkeru Rishonis. Don't remember the earlier ones, the first ones. V'kadmonis Al Tizboinanu. And the early ones don't contemplate. Which is Al Tizkeru Rishonis. Don't remember the first ones. Zeh Shibid Malchis. That's a reference to the subjugation of all the different kingdoms of Bavel, Paras, and Madai. V'kadmonis Al Tizboinanu. And don't contemplate the earlier ones. That's a Zu Yitzis Mitzrayim. That's a reference to Yitzis Mitzrayim, which is that although you shouldn't contemplate it, but obviously you should still remember it. That's what we're showing from this thing, as it says at the end of that pasuk, that hidden the Eisach Hadashah, because now I'm going to do something new. Ata Tismach, now it's going to be sprouting. And as the Gemara says, Tanu Rav Yosef Zu Mechemes Gog Magog, that's going to be the war of Gog Magog, which is going to precede the coming of Mashiach, which is that although that now the greatest thing that happened recently is what we're going to remember, like the name of Yisrael and Gog Magog, but it doesn't mean that we totally forget about it. It just becomes secondary, and that's why Kol Yemei Chayecha could still be including Yitzis Mitzrayim even when Mashiach will come. It just will be in a secondary type of role. As the Gemara brings this idea that later things make you forget the earlier things, although it still should be commemorated, but it's not going to play such a primary role. Moshe l'mahadavadayma, what can we compare this to, that the later, greater Nisim make it, so to speak, the early ones secondary? Someone has a marshal to someone that was going on the road, and he, so to speak, met up with a wolf, and he was saved from the wolf. And he was telling everyone, wow, you know what happened to me? I was saved from a wolf. Unbelievable greatness. Then, a later time, Pogabayari, Venitzel Mimeno, and then he once met up with a lion, and he was saved from the lion. And all he could talk about was, wow, there was a lion, it was crazy, and I got saved from it. Pogabay Nachash, but then one time he met up with a snake, Venitzel Mimeno, and then he was saved from the snake. Shachach Maise Shneim. She totally forgot about the wolf and about the lion. All he could speak about was the story that happened with the snake. Afkach Yisrael. So too Kala Yisrael. Tzaras Achrayinis, Meshachach HaZarishayinis. The later tzaras, the later troubles, totally make us forget about the earlier tzaras. So again, although that it's going to be secondary, it's going to be tuffle, but it won't be totally uprooted. And this is the same concept to explain the sheet of the Chachamim, that Kol Yemei Chayecha could be including Yemei Mashiach. That again, although Gog Magog and the Geula from Golas Eden will be primary in our heads, that's going to what the Pasuk says, that you won't say anymore Chai Hashem that took us out of Mitzrayim. You're going to be saying that he took us out of Golas Eden, out of from all the four corners of the earth, but it's still going to be mentioned Yitzias Mitzrayim, just albeit in the secondary role. The Gemara continues with this, that her earlier name is not Nitche, it's just become secondary. It says, Avram hu Avraham, that this person that was mentioned in the Torah, that's Avram, he's the same as Avram. That betchila nasa av la Avram, that first, he was the father of Avram, and that's what it says, that Avram, that the people, he lived in Aram, the people of his country. That's where he was from, as it says in the pasuk, Be'iva hanor Yoshua ve'seichem v'oim el Aram na'araim el irnacha. That's where he lived. So first he was Avram, the Av of Aram. Then, l'b'soif nasa Av l'chol ha'olam kuli. Then he became a father after Hashem blessed him and he became the great person that he was. He became the father for the whole entire world. And that's Av ha'moin goyim is Avraham, that Av ha'moin goyim. He was the father of all the different nations. Sarai, he Sarah. The one that was called Sarai earlier is the same person that was called Sarah later. And that's the same concept. The Batchila Nas is Sarai Lu'umasa, that originally she was a queen, a princess for her nation. And that's what Sarai is, a Lashon Yochid. It's a singular, my queen, my princess. However, Ulbsaif Nasa Sarah Lukhalam Kuli. Then it was said in the more general term, Sarah, which is the Sar, which is a princess. Then she became the whole entire world together with Avram Avinu. But that's the idea that Avram is the same as Avram. It's just that he, so to speak, graduated to a higher level, but not that you totally lost what Avram was. It just became greater. But it's still that it became a tuffle to the greater, to the Iker of Avraham and Sarah. However, the Gemara brings a man Dhamma that argues. Turn about Kapara. It's not true. Avram is totally bygone. You can't call him Avram anymore. It can't be remembered anymore. And not only that, you're over a mitzvah essay if you call Avram Avinu Avram. Shenema, Bo Yishem Chavram, that your name is Avram. Forget about Avram. You can't. That's not his name anymore. Rebbe Elazar says you're over on a negative prohibition. Shenema b'li kori oida shimcha Avram. It says in the puzzle, your name shall never be called anymore Avram. Hashem took him out of that mazel and he changed his name to Avram. So the Gemara asked, Ilma'ata kori l'sara sarai hochinami. So the similar should be the same thing with Sarah. Her name was changed from Sarai to Sarah. It also should be a lav. So the Gemara says, Hasim kuchibricho amala Avraham. There, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Avraham, Sarai ishtecha loitikari Hashem Sarai ki Sarai Shema. Hashem told to Avraham that your wife Sarai, is her name should not be called anymore Sarai, rather Sarah. However, wasn't telling this to the entire world. It was just, that's why Avraham should not call his wife anymore Sarai. But we don't have the Isra of calling her Sarai. It was only for Avraham that the whole Isra was on the whole world, that his name should never be Avraham anymore, rather only Avraham. So the Gemara asks, Elimata Kurli Yaakov, Yaakov Achinami. So the same thing should be, we said that Kaddish Baruch Hu told Yaakov, your name is not Yaakov anymore, it's Yisrael. If you call Yisrael, Yaakov, like we call it Yaakov Avinu, you should also be Avraham the Lav. So the Gemara says, Shani Hasim, the Hadr Ahadrikra. Now there by Yaakov is different because the Pasuk goes back and calls him Yaakov even at a later point in time. The Chseva Yoimei Alekim LeYisrael, B'maris HaLayla, that Hashem came to Yisrael, to Yaakov Avinu, in the vision of the night. But Yoimei Yaakov, Yaakov, when he said Yaakov, Yaakov, obviously it wasn't an absolute term when he called him Yisrael and no more Yaakov, because he himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, called Yaakov Avinu Yaakov. That's why we're allowed to call him Yaakov. However, now the Gemara asks on Bar Kapara Shita, that he said that you're over in the mitzvahs, I say, if you call Avram Avinu Avram, Mosav Reb Yosi Bar Oven, Vitem Reb Yosi Bar Zvida. It says in the Pasuk, we say every morning in the Pesuk of the Zirma, Atahu Hashem Alikim, you are Hashem, the God, Asher Bechart Ba'Avram, that you chose Avram. How can we be calling him Avram? His name's not Avram anymore, it's Avram. So the Gemara says, Amalei, he said, Hasem Navi Hu de Komesadu Leshvachid Rachmana, my Dehavim Mekar. There the prophet is organizing the praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from what originally was. In other words, originally, when he chose Asher Becharto, when did he choose him? His name then was Avram. And then, Besamta Hashem Avram, then you called him Avram. But it's not calling him anymore Avram. It's just referring back to the time when he was Avram. Hashem picked Avram and turned him into Avram. But now, currently, if we were referring to Avram Avinu, we can't call him Avram Avinu. We would have to call him Avram Avinu. And then you're either an essay and possibly even a loisus, even a lav. So now the Hadron Olach Me'emesai, we finish the first parak of Mesechtes Brachos, parak Me'emesai. Now that we continue on to the second parak, which continues on the same theme of the first parak regarding the halachas of Kriyat Shema and of the Birchas Kriyat Shema. So we begin the second parak. Ha'yikari ba'Torah v'higiyaz man ha'merkev. Let's say someone was reading in the Torah, he was learning Chumash, and it happened to be that he was reading the parasha of Kriyat Shema in the Chumash. Let's say it was that week's parasha and he was doing Shnei Mekev Echatargim. The Gizman and it became Zman of Kriyishma and the time of the recital of Kriyishma. So it says, Im Kivan Liboy Yotze. If he focused his heart, then he's Yotze, because then he had Das to have a mind to be Yotze the Chiv of Kriyishma. So therefore he's Yotze. So Taisa says from the Yerushalmi that obviously the brachas, the Birchas Kriyishma, are not Ma'akiv, because although he didn't say the two brachas before and the two brachas after, he obviously is Yotze, because if not, what does it help that he had in mind when he's saying the Pesukim, the Chumash, to be Yotze Krishma, but he didn't say the Birchas Krishma? So that's the makar for many people when they're not going to make the Zman of Krishma during the Tefillah, because it's going to be later, so they say the Krishma beforehand, that you can be Yotze the Chiv of Krishma as long as you have Das, even though you're not saying it together with the Birchas of Krishma. Now the Mishnah continues onto a different theme regarding the, when the person's saying Krishma and the Birchas Krishma, where could he make a hafzik? Where could he interrupt? And we know you can't, certain times you can't talk out. However, there are certain times then you can. And this is what the Mishnah discusses. Biprakim shoyil b'mnei ha-kovidu meshim. The first sheet that brought down the Mishnah says that between paragraphs, a person could inquire for the sake of another's honor, and it could return the request, the inquiry from somebody else. And that is, the Gemara is going to later explain what we're talking about, but it's between the different places where the chapters end, between different chapters in Shema and other times in the Birchas of Kriyat Shema, that a person could inquire about someone else that's a Adam Nichbad, a respectable person, that he has to, so to speak, and say and ask him how he's doing before he talks to him. Is that type of, you could be Shalom Ne'akovit, and he could respond Shalom to someone that goes and asks him first how he's doing. And the Gemara is going to ask, oh, well, of course, if you could inquire about someone that you have a chiv of kavod for sure you could respond to such a person. So the Gemara is going to later explain what does it mean that you're meishav, that you could respond. Divrei Meir, this is the sheet of Meir of how a person could interrupt in the middle of the Kriya Shema and the Birchas Kriya Shema. Rabbi Yehuda says a different shita. Be'emtza, in middle of the parakah, in middle of a chapter, in middle of a bracha, or middle of one of the parashas in Kriya Shema, shoyil b'mneha yira, umeshiv b'mneha kovid. You can inquire about for someone else that you have a chiyuv of to fear them, and you could respond to someone that you have a chiyuv of kovid to honor him. Ubeprakamen, between the chapters, and between the different paragraphs, shoyil b'mneha kovid, that you could even acquire, you could inquire by someone that you have a chiv of honor for, and umeshiv shalom chaladim, you could even respond to an inquiry of how you're doing to any person that asks you, as long as you're in between the different parashas or between the different parakim, you could respond. And now the Mishnah explains what are these places that are called bein haparakim. Elohim bein haparakim, these are between the chapters where we have a machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Reb Meir, who you could respond to, but to some level you could definitely respond to certain people or even inquire. So that's bein bracha rishon lishniyah. That's between the first bracha of the Birchas Kriya Shema and the second. Bein shniyah lishma, between the second bracha, which is the bracha of Ahavas Olam, to the bracha of, to the parasha of Shema. Bein shma l'vahayim shmai, between Shema and vahayim shmai, which is the second chapter of Kriya Shema. Bein vahayim shmai l'vayim, between the second parasha of Kriya Shema and the third parasha. Bein vayim l'emes v'yatzeh, between the end of Kriya Shema and emes v'yatzeh, which is the bracha that comes after Kriya Shema. However, Yehuda Omer, bin v'yom alem es v'yatzav lo yasuk. You can't interrupt between the last pass of Kriya Shema, which ends El Hashem Lekechem, and the next chapter of the Baruch of Kriya Shema, which starts emes v'yatzav. You can't interrupt over there. The word emes, although it's really part of emes v'yatzav, we say it together with the Kriya Shema, and therefore there can't be a place over there where you're going to be interrupting in between. The Gemara is going to explain what is the yisoid of the machlekes between Yehuda and the Tanakhama. Now we continue on to a different theme. Regarding the order, why do we have the order of our parashas for Kriya Shema as it is, which is Shema, Vayim Shmoyim, Vayim, why is it in that order? So Amar Reb Shu ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Parashas Shema L'Vayim Shmoyim, why is it that the parashas of Shema comes before Vayim Shmoyim? So he says, Kedei Sheikabal of Oil Machas Shemaim Tchila, V'achakach Mekabal of Oil Mitzvahs, first you should Mekabal on yourself the yoke of Shemaim of heaven, just of Hashem himself, so to speak. And then once you mekabel his malchus, his kingdom, then you go ahead and you mekabel the yoke of his commandments. First the king, you accept the king, and then you accept what he tells you to do. And Shema refers to the v'haftas Hashem, to Hashem, and then v'haim Shemaya refers to Hashem's mitzvahs. Then v'haim Shemaya l'v'yemer, why does v'haim Shemaya come before v'yemer, which is the last parasha, the parasha of tzitzis? Sh'v'haim Shemaya noig b'im b'yemer b'im b'layla, because v'haim Shemaya applies to both by day and by night. As we see, the parasha v'haim Shemaya talks about Talmud Torah, as it says, "V'lamadetem oisim espenechem," and that applies to learn both by day and by night. However, "V'yomer in the noigel b'yom b'vad," but the parashah of Tzitzis only applies at the day, because, as it says, "Reisim oisai," that you have to see the Tzitzis, which the Gemara in Shabbos says excludes, let's say, a beggar that you wear at nighttime, for example, a pajama, even if it would have four corners. So that's why, since that only applies by day and not by night, so Bar Mishmai takes precedence because it applies by day and by night. So now the Gemara wants to be medayik something from our Mishnah. Shema mina mitzvahs tzriches kavana. From our Mishnah, we could obviously tell that there's a concept called that mitzvahs require intent, that you have to have intent to do the mitzvah, and that it's not enough to just do it, and even if you didn't have kavana to do it. We see that it says if you're reading the parasha of Shema in the Chumash, you're not just going to be yaitzeh. If you have a mind, say, oh, okay, let me be yaitzeh the mitzvah of Kriya Shema with my Shnayim Mikvecha Targum, then you're yaitzeh. And therefore, this is a question according to Rabbah that he says in Masechtas Reish Hashanah, that if someone blows Lashir, if he blows the Shofar just to play a song, he's yaitzeh his chiyuv of Tekiyah Shofar Hashanah, and he's not having das, he's not having kavana to be yaitzeh the mitzvah. So how can we be, according to Rabbi, it's difficult on Mishnah, which makes it sound like, no, that you have to have kavanah. It can't be that you're playing for the song, because that's not having kavanah to be yaitzeh the mitzvah. So Gemara answers, mayim kivan liboy. What does it mean that if he focused his heart, it doesn't mean that he was focusing to be yaitzeh the mitzvah. It means he was focusing licorice he had in mind to read. In other words, not to be yaitzeh the mitzvah, but just because you don't need to have kavanah. Rather, he just should focus that, hey, I'm reading a parasha in the Torah. So the Gemara says, likroi is v'hoku kari. What does that mean that you have to have kavanah to read? That's what he's doing. He's reading from the Torah, as it says, hoyukari b'tari. So what does that mean that he should focus to read? He is reading. So the Gemara answers, b'kari lahagi is talking about a person that was reading from the Sefer Torah to correct it. In other words, he's going through a Sefer Torah and he's correcting to see if there's any mistakes. He's a Sefer that he's not even having in mind to read. He's having a mind, so to speak, just to correct it. Therefore, Im Kivan Liba doesn't mean that he has kavanah to be Yitzin Mitzvah, but he has to focus to say that I'm going to read it now and not that I'm going to just be correcting the Sefer Torah. Taisus has difficulty with this pshat from Rashi because he's still reading it. Who cares what his intention is that he's not reading it to read like Shnayim Mikra, he's reading it just to correct it, but ultimately he's still reading it. So Taisus says that when it says Bekor Lagia that he was reading it to correct the Sefer Torah, the idea of that is that he's not reading the Tevis, the words correctly like the Halacha and the Nekudas are. Rather, he's reading it as it's written because he wants to know, he has to remember the words that have extra letters or less letters. For example, Letaitafais and Mezuzais are written chaser. They're not written with a vav. So he's reading it Letatfas u'mezuzas. So when it says Imkiven Liboy, it doesn't mean that he has to focus. Rather, it means to say that he should focus to read properly as its nekudas and like the halochas are. That's what Taisa says. But it's not a difficulty according to Rabbi. We don't see anywhere here that you have mitzvah srichas kavana. Rather, the focus is that you should read it properly and you should just read it as it's necessary. Now the Gemara continues on a different theme regarding the parashas of Kriyishma, regarding what language can we say the parasha of Kriyishma in. Tanur Rabban, Kriyishma kiksava divi Rebbe. Rebbe says that Kriyishma has to be said how it's written. And just like it's written in the Sefer Torah and Lashon HaKodesh, that's how it has to be read. The Chacham say you could read the Kriyishma in any language, English, French, Russian, any language that you know. So the Gemara has my time of the Rebbe. What's the Rebbe's reason? Where does he get this from? That it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. So it says, Amakra v'hoyu. It says in the parashas of Shema, v'hoyu they shall be. Which is, he learns, b'haviyas in Yehu, that as they are, that's how it should be. Which is, in Lashon HaKodesh, that's how it's written. Rabbanan, my time, what's the reason of the Rabbanan that it could be said in every language? Amakra Shema, it says here, which is, b'chol loshon shata Shema, in any language that you understand, we're telling everyone, Shema Yisrael, listen, what do you mean? I know a different language, I don't know Lashon HaKodesh, so good, so any language that you understand, that's the language that you should recite it in, and that's why you could say Kriyishma in any language. So the Gemara asks, Ula Rebbe Namik Ksiv Shema, so according to Rebbe, it also says Shema, well, doesn't it sound like you could say it in any language? So he says, that's saying something else. It's coming to tell you that you should have to hear what you're saying out of your mouth, which is that it has to be audible, but not that it can mean any language, just that you actually have to hear it. But Rabbanan, they hold, they hold like the mandab, like the one who says that even if you don't hear it, you yaitz, and therefore they have the word Shema available to tell you that it's for any language that atah shemea that you hear it. But now the Gemara goes back. What's with the proof that Rebbe brought that it says Vahoyu that it should be Vahavayos and Yehu, it should be as it is, in other words, in the language that's written in Lashon HaKodesh? So they say that's telling you something else. That's telling you that you shouldn't read the parashas of Shema out of sequence. And that's why it says Vahayos and it should be as it is, which means in the correct order, but not that it's telling you in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Gemara says, "Rebbe should they curl my frame and other." So where does Rebbe have this halacha that you shouldn't read it out of sequence because he can't learn from Bahayu because he's learning from there that it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh? So Nafkalei Midvarm Hadavarm, he learns it out when it says that Bahayu it should have said in the Torah Bahayu Dvarm Ha'ela, but it says Bahayu Hadavarm Ha'ela that these things should be. That's coming to make a drasha that you should read it in its proper order and not out of order. For example, you shouldn't say uvisharecha, beisecha, mezuzas. You can't say the words backwards. That we learn that from the extra hey about how you had dvarim ha'ela. But the Gemara says rabbanan dvarim hadvarim loydasha. They don't make a drasha out of the extra hey. Sometimes that's how the word is written. Not v'ha'yu dvarim ha'ela is written v'ha'yu hadvarim ha'ela. They don't have that word extra to tell you that letter extra to tell you that halacha. So now the Gemara sums it up and says, Lememri, it would seem to say the Savar Rebbe, the Chalatar Kula B'Chaloshin Nemri, that we should say that he holds that regarding the whole Torah, regarding all the other mitzvahs of recital, that it can be said in every language. How do we know that? From the fact that he had to tell you that when regarding reciting Kriyishma, that it has to be as it's written, obviously he holds by the rest of the Torah, it can be said in any language, because or else if every mitzvah has to be in Lashon HaKodesh, I wouldn't need a special pasuk to tell you that Kriyishma has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. As the Gemara says, because if you would think by everything, anything that you say in any mitzvah of recital that has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh, so why would I need a special limud to say v'hayu it should, as it is, which is in Lashon HaKodesh, why would I need it? Why should it be any different than any mitzvah? So Gemara says, no. Itzrach, I would need it, in spite of the fact that everywhere has to be Lashon HaKodesh, since it says the word Shema, which is that you shouldn't make the drasha like the Rabbanan say, that Shema means in any language that you understand. That's why I needed Vahoyu to exclude from that that you would think to say that Shema means in any language, but really everything needs only Lashon HaKodesh, and you can never say it in any other language. Now the Gemara goes the other way. So it would seem to say that the Rabbanan hold that regarding the whole entire Torah, that it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh. Why would that be? Because if you think that regarding the whole entire Torah, any mitzvah that you have to recite, it could be in any language. So Shema dekaz rachman olamli. Why would I need a special limit to say Shema, that you could say Shema in any language because it's the lashon at the Shema that you hear? What do you mean? Everywhere. Why should it be any different than any mitzvah that could be in any language? So Gemara says no. Similar to what we said before. Itzrach mishum nechsev v'hayu. Since it says v'hayu, which I would think like Rabbi says that it has to be in the order that it is. That's why I needed Shema to exclude from that. But truth be told, in every mitzvah you could say it in any language. So we have two machloikis regarding Kriyishma. We have the machloikis regarding if it has to be said in Lashon HaKodesh or it could be said in any language. And related to that machloikis was that if it has to be that you have to be able to hear what you're saying, does it have to be audible? So Tosis says that in the name of the Ri, that the halacha is like the Chachamim, which is that you could say it in any language, doesn't have to be said just in Lashon HaKodesh. And he brings two reasons why. One is because although we usually say the halach is like Rebbe Mechaveroi, but it's not Mechaveroi, but it's only when Rebbe argues on one other town and not when he argues on the Chachamim, which is a Rabbim. And more so is that the Rabbanan, they hold, as we said, these two machlekes in Atali Zebezeh, they hold like the one who says that you don't have to hear the Shema, rather they use the word Shema to say in any language that you understand, but not it has to be audible, and that's how we paskin later on, Daf Tez Vav Mabez. So therefore, since it's Tali Debezet, these two shitas, so therefore that's how we know that we pass like the Chacham, you can say Shema in any language that you understand. Now the Gemara continues on, we mentioned up until now regarding mitzvahs, Trichas Kavana, about having to have Kavana when you're saying Shema. Now the Gemara discusses about actual Kavana, the Pirush HaMilas, having intent when you're saying the words to understand what you're saying. Tan Rabban. It says in the parashas of Krishma, as we mentioned the Gemara before, V'hoyu Shlei Karla Mafreya. That it says, Bahoyu, that as they are, which is that it shouldn't be read out of sequence, out of order, it shouldn't be read backwards. And then it also says in the parashas over there, Hadvarim alavecha, that these words should be on your heart. In other words, that you should have kavana. So the Gemara says, Yachalte kola parasha tzricha kavana. You would think that the whole parasha has to have kavana, that you have to focus on the words. Tamalim ha'ela, that it says, that Hadvarim ha'ela alavecha, that these words, ha'ela, should be on your hearts, that ad kan tzricha kavana, that up until here you need to have kavana. But from here on, you don't have to have kavana necessarily. That's the words of Eliezer, which is Rashi says that, what does it mean, adkan? Until the words, that's where, that up until there, that's where you have to have kavana. From there on, it's not mandatory to have kavana. Taisis, however, says that it's up until the words, and the reason for this is because those two psukim, the first two psukim, they talk about Yichud Hashem, the unity of Hashem, and loving Hashem, and fearing Hashem. That's why up until there, you have to have Kavana. From there on, then Kavana is not Ma'akav. But what we see from both Pshat and Rashi and Taisa, either one, is that not for the whole first parasha you have to have Kavana, but rather up until either Chol Miyadecho or Ha'advarm Ha'ela Alav Avecho. That's the Shita of Rebbe Eliezer. Om Rebbe Kiva, so Rebbe Kiva told him, Hareyu Oime, but it says, and now we continue on to Amid Beis, it says in the Pasuk, Asher Anoichi Mitzavcha Yom Alav Avecha, that which I command you today should be on your heart. So Mikan Atalamit Shekola Parsha Kula Tzricha Kavana. That he says, no, it's not true. That from here you see that the whole entire parsha needs to have Kavana. Because it says, all the words that I command you should be on your heart. Not just Ha'idvorm Ha'ela, but rather Asher Anoichi Mitzavcha Yom, which means the whole parsha, that has to have Kavana. It's not enough up until either the first two Psukim or Alav Avecha. So Taisis says, What is this? How do we see from Asher Neichim Tzav Chayyim? Says, because it would be like you were saying, it should have said Asher Tzivi Sicha, that which was in the past Pesukim, but Mitzav Cha is in the present, it's Mashma from even here on, that's why it's Mashma even the whole entire first parak, that the whole parasha needs to have Kavana. However, Taisa does say that it needed the word ho'ela, which was a limiting, which we see from the Gemara. Rabbi Eliezer was saying that ho'ela means only these words, because if not for the limitations of ho'ela, I would think that it would include even the second parasha of Krishma, that also has to have kavana. So therefore, ha'ela limits the second parasha, but Asher Nechim Tzav Chayim, which it sounds like it's going to the rest, is the whole parasha, and not like Rabbi Eliezer says, that's only the first few psukim. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi b'chanim b'yechan halacha k'bekiva that halacha k'bekiva that you have to have kavana the whole entire first parasha, and it's not enough just the first few pesukim." The Gemara says, "Ikad demastin lo." Some want to say this teaching of Rabbi b'chanim that halacha is like Rabbi Kiva. Ahod the Tanya is going on a different brisa that says as follows: Hakoyer Shema tzurch shichamnes liba, that whoever is reciting the Shema has to have kavana when he's saying it. Rabbi Acha mishum b'Yehuda omer kivin shekivin liboy b'perek rishon shuvein etzarch. As long as he said the first parak, then he doesn't have to have kavana anymore. He doesn't have to have kavana for the rest of Shema, as long as he had a kavana by the first parak. On that, Amar Rabbi Bachana, Amar Bi'echanan, halacha kreb acha, sha'amam mishum ibhuda, the same type of idea that the halacha is on the first parak, and you don't need to have kavana after that. But it still has to be the entire first parak, and again, not just the first few psukim. The Gemara says, Tani idach, we learn a different braisa. It says again, v'hoyu, it says that it should, as it is, which is that you shouldn't recite the Kriya Shema out of sequence, in other words, backwards. And then it says, Alo Avacha, that these words should be on your heart. Reb Zutra Omer, what does that mean? Ad kan, mitzvah kavana, that up until here is where the mitzvah of having kavana focuses. And now it seems like from the Gemara thinks that it means that you have to have kavana, but you don't have to say the words. Mikan ve'elech mitzvah kriya, that only from here on do you have to recite it, which is that from the parasha of Vahoy Mishamaya. But the first parak, you don't have to say it. It's just Alav Vecha, just has to be on your heart. You just have to think of it. And only Vahoy Mishamaya non, that's where you recite it. Rabbi Yeshua says no. Ad Kam Mitzvah Kriya, the other way around. The first parak of Shema has to be that you recite it. Mekan Ve'edlech Mitzvah Kavana. But from Vahoy Mishamaya non, then it's just a mitzvah of thinking it. You don't have to say it. So the Gemara asks, Maishna Mekan Ve'edlech Mitzvah Kriya. Why is it that he said that from here on is the mitzvah of Kriya? That was the first Manda Amei. He says that only the first parak has to be with Kavana, but from V'hoim Shemaya on is a mitzvah of Kriya. The Chsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, L'dabribam, because it says in the second parasha of Kriya Shema, it says that you should have it, L'dabribam, to speak about them. But Hochanami, Hochsiv, V'dabribam, in the first parak of Kriya Shema, in the parasha of Shema, when it speaks about that, it says, V'dabribam, you should speak about it. So obviously the first parasha also requires speaking, not just the second parasha, because it says L'dabribam. So Gemara revises it. It's not like we thought originally that they had this machlokes about if the first parasha you just have to think it and the second parasha you have to say it, or the other way around, that the first parasha you have to say it and the second parasha you just have to think it. Rather, hachikama ad kan mitzvah kavano v'kriya, that up until the end of the first parak, the end of the first parasha of Shema, that's where you have to have kavana and to say it. Mikan ve'elach kriya b'le kavana, from here on, from Vayim Shema on, you only have to say it and not have kavana. As we said before, that the chiva of kavan is only on the first parak. But however, the Gemara still finds a difficulty in this. Umayishna ad kam mitzvah kavan kriya. Why is it that only up until the end of the first parak of Kriya Shema, that's when you have the mitzvah of having kavana and to recite it? The chsiv alav avecha v'dibartabam, because it says both that it should be on your heart and v'dibartabam, that you should speak about it. Hasem nami hoksiv alav avchem l'dabarbam, it says also in the parasha of Vahim Shemaya that it should be on your heart and to speak about it. So why shouldn't you have to have the chiv of kavana by Vahim Shemaya also? So the Gemara answers, ahumi boy lelik treb yitzchak, because we need the words alav avchem to tell you a different halacha, not regarding kavana. The Amar, because it says v'samtem es devarai eila, that you should place these words of mine, which is tzrichesh teisima keneged halev, that these words should be placed opposite the lev. It's not in reference to kavana. Rather, what it is that it says over there v'samtem, and that's not talking about reciting or kavana. Rather, talking about the placing of the tefillin shel yad. That where should you place it? It should be on the upper part of the arm by the biceps, which are keneged halev. And that's the Kavuras Hazroya, that's the place where you put the tefillin. That's why it says Alav Avchem. It's a reference to say that the tefillin should be opposite where the heart is, but it's not in reference to having kavana. And that's why the Parsha of Vayim Shemaya does not require kavana, it only requires kriya. So Gemara continues with the other mandama. Amamar, we mentioned before, Rabbi Yishio Aymar, that no, the other way around. Ad kam mitzvah kriya, that only the first Parsha of Kriya Shema requires kriya. Mekam ve'elech afam v'hoi mishmaya non, mitzvah kavana, there you only have to have kavana. So the Gemara says, what's the pshat? Maishna mekan ve'elich mitzvah kavana. Why from v'hoi mishmayon on do you have to have kavana? Mishum d'chsev alav avchem, because it says it should be on your heart. Hachinami yoksev alav avecha. The first parasha Shema also says it should be on your heart, that you should have to have kavana, not just kriya. So the Gemara answers a similar type of teretz. Hachikama. Ad kam mitzvah kriya v'kavana. That up until here, meaning to the end of the first parasha, you have the mitzvah of reciting and kavana. Mekan ve'elich kavana b'loi kriya. However, from V'hoi Mishmayin on, you only have to think about it and you don't have to say it. To which the Gemara asks, U'mayishnad kam mitzvahs kriya ukavona. Why is it that the first parasha you have to say it and think about it? Techsib alav avelcha v'debar tibam, it says both on your heart and to speak about it. Hasim nami yaksib alav avchim l'dabar bam, it says not only on your heart, but also says you should speak about it. So the Gemara says that no, l'dabar bam over there is not telling you that you have to speak about it. If that's written in reference to the words of Torah, as it's obvious in the pasuk over there, there it's talking about that you should teach your children. That's not going on Shema, that's going on Divrei Torah. This is what the Torah is telling you. Teach your sons Torah, that they should be speaking about it. In other words, teach your sons Torah. Why? So that this is going to be the things that they're talking about, but not that is in reference to the Kriya Shema. And that's why Vemishmoy does not require talking about it. You just have to think about it. So we had these Machlekes Tanoim that they both agree that the first parasha of Shema requires to say it and to think about it. However, the Machlekes is regarding the second parak, that one mandam says that you have to say it and you don't have to have kavana, like all the other mandam we found early in the Gemara. The other Tana says that no, that you only have to think about it and you don't have to say it. And they explain the other words of Ladaber Bam and Alavavchem referring to different things. Now the Gemara continues on this theme again with different man the Amrim about the requisite of Kavanah that's necessary when reciting the parashat of Shema. Tan Rabban, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That's the first pasuk of Shema. Ad kan tzricha kavana, kavanas alev. Divrei Meir says that only the first pasuk does one have to have kavana, and that's it. Not like we said before regarding the first few psukim or the first parasha or the second parasha. No, the first pasuk of Shema, and that's it. Amar Rava halacha k'rei Meir. Rava says halacha is like Rei Meir, and that's it. You only have to have kavana, at least liikuva, on the first pasuk of Shema. And Tosis says that is the halacha because we hold like Rava, which he's a basra, he's the last one, and that's obviously not like all the other shittas we brought in the Gemara up until now, and we're going to see later also that it requires the whole first parak of Shema up until Uvisharecha and up until Vahim Shemaya. It's not. It just requires the first pasuk of Shema. The Gemara continues again with this theme about having kavanas upon reciting Shema. Tanya, we learn the brayza. Sumchas oimer, kol amarech be'echad, marichin lo yamo v'shnei. So whoever lengthens when he says the word echad, they lengthen his days and his years. And this is, as the Gemara is going to explain, because of the kavanas that are necessary when reciting that. Amar av acha bar Yaakov, ubedalas. Where should you be lengthening the word on the dalid and not on the ches? And the reason is because as long as you're saying echa, you didn't say without the dalid, you didn't say anything because the word echa means nothing. So what are you gaining by lengthening? But if you lengthen the word the dalid echad, then and then you're going to have the shir that in your heart you can make a kaddish baruch hu yachid, someone singular in shemayim and oretz and the four different ruchas, as the Gemara is going to explain. So that you gain something because you're lengthening the word. But if you're saying echa, you didn't say any word, and therefore there's no point in having kavana because you didn't say anything. However, the Gemara does say, but as long as you don't hurry the ches, and that is because you want to make the dalet longer, don't be quick to read it, because instead of sounding like a kamatz, it's going to sound like a shva. And when we say words too quickly, sometimes we pronounce it in the wrong way. So the Gemara brings a maisa to illustrate this halacha. So Chazi, he saw that he was saying the word echad very long. So Amalei, so he told him, Kivendam lichta lamalo lamato la'abaruchas ha'shamayim. Once you ready with mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you made him the king, so to speak, over what's on above and what's on under, and for the four sides of the world, four ruches, the four winds of the earth. So sulei tzrichas, then you don't need anymore. In other words, there's no point, as long as you already thought in your heart that Hashem is the one in Shemayim Arts and the four ruches, you don't have to say the word any longer. So, although we see from our Gemara that you have to be mayrich in the word echad to have kavana, but don't say it too quickly by the ches, because then you might mispronounce the ches. And the main idea is to make it longer on the dalid and not on the ches, because by the ches you still have yet to say the proper word to have any kavanas. Gemara continues on this theme about having kavana. Amr Rav Nosson bar Mar Ukva, Amr Rav Yehuda. We said alav vecha, that these words should be on your heart. And so he says bamida, that it should be when the person's standing. And Rashi says that even according to Beis Hill, that we said earlier in the Gemara in Daf Yud Alav, that oisik b'malachtam occurring, that a person could be busy working and saying Kriya Shema, and he could be mahalchin occurring, he could be walking and saying it. They agree that you should have to stand in one place up until this pasuk, because up until here is where you have the mitzvah of kavana. and therefore you have to stand. And similarly, Tosis brings that from the Yerushalmi that it's not that if you were sitting, you have to stand up. That's not what it means by Mida. Rather, that if you were going, you have to stand. And he brings the same idea that although Beis Hillel says that you could be going and reciting Krishna, but he says the mitzvah in the mufra is to stand when you're going because you're not so much miyushav. You don't have so much kavana when you're walking and you won't be able to have kavana. And that's why you have to stand. And that's the halacha, that even if you're mahalach maderech, it's a mitzvah to stand by the first pasuk of Krishna. And because that's like we paskin Taisa says, that's the bechiv of kavanah is by the first pasuk, as we said, that the halacha is like remeya. And he brings from the Medrash Tanchuma similarly, that Rabbi Yehuda, in the name of Shmuel, said that it's us to mekabel on the person malach shemayim when he's walking. Rather, he should stop, say it, and when he starts of a hafta, then he could continue going on his path. So the Gemara continues that we said from Rabbi Yehuda that alav avecha should be when you're standing, and that's where you have to have kavanah. So the Gemara asks, alav avecha soket aitach? Is that it? Just those words you have to stand for? Alav avecha? So the Gemara says, no, ele ema ad alav avecha b'amida. That up until the words alav avecha, that's where you have to have kavanah, and therefore that up until then you have to stand. But from there on, then you could continue going on your way. Rabbi Yochanan amar kol ha'parsha kula b'amida. Again, the same achlikas we had, this whole Amid, that he says, no, the whole first parasha you have to stand, because again, that's what he holds. As the Gemara says, V'az Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, Dama Rabbi Baruchan Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha Kerba'acha, Shom Mishum Rabbi Huda. That is, that the whole first parasha you have to have, say with Kavana, and therefore, that's why you have to stand for the whole first parasha. But again, like we said from Taisis, that since the Halacha is that only the first pasuk of Shema, B'diyevah needs to have Kavana, that's why that's the only pasuk that you have to stand for. Now the Gemara continues with other inyanim regarding Shema. Tanabon, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Lekein Hashem Echad. So the Gemara comments, Zu Krishma Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. This was the Krishma of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Because since he was someone that he was Tairoso Ibn Nasi, that he did nothing but learn Torah the entire day. So that's all he said. He didn't say anything more than the first pasuk to be Yetzir Schiv of Krishma. So Amalei, Rav Lerebchia, Rav told Rebchia, Lechazina Leila Rebbe, the Makabal of Malchus Shemaim. As I never saw him being Makabal on himself, the Malchus Shemaim. Because he used to go ahead and teach his students from before this man of Krishma. And when he reached this man, I didn't see him stop. And then he would continue going. So I never saw him say Krishma. In other words, I never saw Mim Kamal Malch Shemayim. So Amalei Bar Pachsi, which is a term like the son of noblemen, he says, B'shosh Shemaver Yadav Alpanov Mekabal of Malch Shemayim. When he puts his hand over his face, he's been Mekabal on himself Malch Shemayim. So he would go like this for a second. And then he would say the first pasuk, and that's it. That was his Krishma. So the Gemara asks, Chayzer gamra or ain't a chayzer gamra? Did he at a later point go back and finish it, or did he not? In other words, did his whole kriyishma consist just of that first pasuk? And he, even after he got up from giving his shir for his tamidim, he didn't continue and finish up the whole thing, or did he after the shir go ahead and finish up the whole parash of kriyishma? So the Gemara says, Bar Kapara Oimer Einav Chayzav Gamra. Bar Kapara says that he never ended up in finishing it. That's all he said was that first pasuk. No, that he did after the Shir. When it became this man of Krishma, he said the first pasuk. But after the Shir, he would go ahead and finish up V'ha'a Hafta, V'ha'a Shemaya. He did the whole thing. So the Gemara comments, Omalega Bar Kapara, Reb Shimon B'Rabbi, says, Bishlam L'Didi Da Amina Einav Chayzav Gamra. It makes sense, according to my Shita, that I say he never finished it. That's why it was very interesting that every time when he was giving a shir, he always found some way to stick it into the shir, something that had to do with Yitzis Mitzrayim, because that was in place of the parash of Tzitzis and Ve'emes V'yatsev, because he wanted to be Yitzah. Part of Krishma is also discussing Yitzis Mitzrayim, that you have a chiv, not just Shema, also the chiv of Yitzis Mitzrayim. So that makes sense, because afterwards he wasn't going to finish it up. But according to you, that you said after he gave the shir, he would go ahead and finish Vahavta Vayim Shemaya, and would say Vayimer, which talked about Yitzis Mitzrayim. So why was he so busy every shir to find a place to say Yitzis Mitzrayim? He was going to be Yitzit later on anyway. So he answered him, because he wanted to be Yitzit to say, talk about Yitzis Mitzrayim during this man of Kriyishma. But of course, he was going to say the parashah of Yemer later to be Yitzit the Chiv of Yitzis Mitzrayim, which you have one Chiv by, you have the Chiv by day and by night. So, although he's going to be saying it by day, but he wanted to do it in this man of Kriyishma. So the Gemara continues, Amar Abila Bereda of Shmuel Bar Marta Meshmei Derav, Amar Shma Yisrael Hashem Malakeinu Hashem Echad V'nenes B'Shinu Yatzah. The same idea, that as long as you said the first pasuk, and then by force you fell asleep, you're Yatzah, and you don't have to be bothered to think that you weren't Yatzah Yechiv of Kriyishma. The Gemara brings a story to illustrate this. Amar Rav Nachman l'Dori Avdi. Rav Nachman told his servant, his slave Dori, "Bepsuka kamo tzaron." During the first pasuk, you should be mitzar me. You should hurt me. You should torment me. Tvei loy tzar. More than that, you shouldn't. In other words, he was trying to tell him, if you see me falling asleep, push me until I wake up well, so I could say at least the first pasuk. After that, don't bother me, because at least after the fact, for sure, you yoytze your chiv of kriyshma as long as you said the first pasuk. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Amalei Rabbi Yosef l'Rabbi Yosef berei the Rabba, Avu Checha Avid." How did your father do this regarding kriyshma? What was he? What did he hold the chiv was? "Amalei b'psuka kama have a komentar navshe." Regarding the first pasuk of Shema, he would bother himself up until he went and did it. But more than that, he wouldn't bother. In other words, the mitzvah is only the first pasuk. That's enough for kavanah, as we mentioned earlier in the Gemara. And Taisa says that's the halacha, like Remeya, that the first pasuk of Kriyishma you have to have kavanah. That's the mitzvah of Kriyishma. More than that, he didn't push himself. So now the Gemara speaks about that from Shema, it was the idea that it's, as we mentioned in our mission, that it's Kabbalah's Ulmachos Shemayim. So because of that, there's certain ramifications regarding how we recite Kriyishma. Amar Rav Yosef, "Praktan l'yikra Kriyishma." Someone that's lying on his back and his face is heading upwards, he's laying on his back, he can't say Kriyishma, so, because it's not proper, befitting to be mekabel malchus shemayim in such a form. So the Gemara asks as follows, "Mikruhu d'leilikri ha'migni shabbat." I mean, you're telling me that he can't recite Kriyishma in such a fashion, but he could lay in such a way. "Avahar b'shu ben levi laitam on the ganya paragat." B'shu ben levi would curse someone that would lay on his back. And that is because maybe he's going to become aroused in his sleep, and it's going to be seen, visible, and that's going to be, it's a derech gana, it's embarrassing, for it's a disgrace for a person to be seen like that. He said, you can never lay on your back. So what does it mean you can't say kriyishma on your back? What, you can't be laying like that in the first place. So he answered, "Amri migna ki mitzli shaber dami." When it comes to sleeping, if you're leaning a little bit to the side, so that's okay. However, mikra avagav de mitzli namasa, that what we're telling you the halacha here is that even if you're leaning a little bit to the side, still you can't say kriyishma in such a fashion. Because again, you've been mekabel on yourself the yoke of shemayim, the kingdom. That's like gaiva, and like when you're laying down, so that's not proper. So it's, yeah, of course, for sleeping you can't lay on your back, but we're talking about you're leaning a little bit to the side. For sleeping that you could do, but for kriyishma that you can't do. So the Gemara says, "V'har b'yechidin matzli b'kar b'yechidin." He did that. He would lean a little bit to the side and he would say kriyishma in such a fashion. So Gemara answers, "Shani Rabbi Yechanan de Balbasa." However, Rabbi Yechanan is different because he was corpulent. He had a lot of flesh, and therefore that wasn't considered gaiva for him. It was just very difficult for him in any other fashion, and that's why he was allowed to lean as he was saying the parashas of Shema. So now the Gemara goes back to what we discussed in our Mishnah, the next topic, which was regarding where we could make hefsek, where could you talk out, so to speak, in the middle of the birchas kriyishma and kriyishma itself. So the first shita that was brought down was ubeprokim shayil v'chulu, that in between the chapters, one could inquire about someone else that he has a chiv of covered for to honor him, and he could be meshiv, he could respond. So the Gemara tries to understand, what is this enigmatic meshiv? Meshiv machmasmai, respond to who? Why are you responding? So ilim im ne'ar covered, if it's because someone that you have a chiv to honor him, so then why do you have to say that? Hashda mishal shol ahadur mibaya. If such a person that you have a chiv for honor for, that you could even inquire by him, you could initiate it. So for sure you could respond if he already inquired by you. Ella, rather, must be shol mimni hakovet. You could inquire by someone between the chapters that you have a chiv of honor for. Umeshav shol mechaladman. And obvious, but you could respond to any single person. And that's even a person that's not nechbet that you have a chiv to honor. But then the Gemara asks, Eim seifa. Let's see the seifa of the Mishnah. We said be'emtza shoyim nehayiru meshiv. It says in between the chapters, the first Tana said that you could inquire for someone that you have a chiyuv to fear umeshiv, and you could respond. So the Gemara asked again, meshiv machmas mai, who are you responding to? Ilem nehayir, if it's someone that you have a chiyuv to fear, so hashda mishal shol adur miboy. If you could even inquire to such a person, definitely you could respond. Why we would have to say that? Elam nehakovet, it must be that a lower level you could respond even to someone that you have a chiv only to honor him. So the Gemara says, "Hainid Rabbi Yehuda." That this was Remeya Shita. The second Shita that was arguing on him is Rabbi Yehuda. That's almost, that's saying the same thing he says. Did not, as we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Omer be'emtza shoyim nehayira, that in between the chapters you could inquire of someone that you have a chiv to fear umeshiv nehakovet, and you could respond to someone because of honor. And similarly, he says, between the chapters, you could inquire by someone that you have a chiv to honor, and that you could respond to every single person. So what's the machlekes? They're saying the same thing, obviously. So the Gemara says, no. There are words missing in the Mishnah that it should have said the words Ein Tzarech Loimer. And then there's no question. This is how we should learn the Mishnah. When Yirmeyahu was saying, it was as follows. B'prokim shoyel b'nei hakovet, that in between the chapters you can inquire because of honor. Ve'ein tzarech loimer shu meishav, we don't have to tell you that could it respond. And that, but it's still referring to responding only to someone that you have a chiv of kavod for. U'be'emtza shoyel b'nei hayir, and in between the chapters you can inquire for someone that you have a chiv to fear. Ve'ein tzarech loimer shu meishav, and we don't have to tell you that you could respond to Yirmeyahu. And this is what Yirmeyahu says, but it's not for lower levels. You can only respond in between the chapters for someone that you have a chiv of covet for, and in the chapter itself, you could only inquire and respond for someone that you have a chiv to fear. However, Yehuda was more makele. Yehuda Omer be'emtza shoyel b'nei hayira, he agrees that regarding inquiry, it could only be for someone that you fear. However, he went even more cooler than he said yomeishav b'nei hakovet, that you could respond to even an individual that you have only a chiv to honor. And then we continue on to the beginning of Daf Yudalid. And that he agrees regarding in between the chapters that you could only inquire for someone in the b'chiv of honor. However, he was even more lenient, and he says, "Umeishav shalom l'chaladim," that you can respond to anyone's inquiry when it's in between the chapters. And that is, we said, in between Shema and Mishmaya, the different places where the chapters end and then begin. So the Gemara says that Tanya Mahach, we learned similarly in the Braisa. Hakareh Shema, if someone's reading the Shema, upoga by rabbi or godol himenu, and then someone that was greater than him, his Rebbe, came and he met up with him in his middle saying the Shema. So then beprokim shoyl b'mnei hakovet ve'enet tzarech loymeshu meshav. We learned exactly how we answered, that it's that in between the chapters you can inquire and we don't have to say that you could respond for someone that you have a chiv to honor. Ube'emtza shoyl b'mnei hayira ve'enet tzarech loymeshu meshav de'Remei, that Remei was saying that in the chapter itself you could inquire for someone you have a chiv to fear, and definitely we don't have to tell you that you could respond. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, he went even more lenient, that in the chapter itself you could inquire for something that you fear, and you could even respond to someone that you have a chiv of honor for. And in between the chapters, that you could inquire for someone that you have a chiv to honor, and you could even respond to every single person that inquires to how you're doing. So we have over here this machlokes between Remei and Yehuda, that in between the chapters, Remei says that you could ask and respond to someone that you have a chiv to honor. Rabbi Yehuda says that he agrees that you could only inquire for someone you have a chiv to honor, but you could even respond to anybody. And in Be'emtza, in middle of the parak, there Rabbi Meir said that you could only ask and respond to someone which is even greater level that you have a chiv to fear. Rabbi Yehuda said that you could only inquire for someone you have a chiv to fear, but you could even respond to even someone on a lower level that you have a chiv of covet for. So it's interesting to note that Tosfos says, so we have this machlokes Rabbi Meir and Yehuda. He says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that even in the emtz, even in the middle of the chapter, that you could be meishav nei hakovet, you could respond to someone that you have a chiv of kovet for. And therefore, Tosfos says that that's why we have this halacha, that you could respond to kaddish and kedusha in the middle of Kriyat Shema, because he says the ein lachom nei hakovet, God said there is no greater nei hakovet, that in other words, you have a chiv of kovet for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he does say that in the middle of Shemayna Esrei, there it's asa to respond to kaddish and kedusha. And he says, because it's mashma, the Gemara Vayter on Daf Lamed Aleph, that says that between Geula Tefillah, you can't respond to Kaddish and Kedusha. And Tosfos says, the Kolshkin, that in Tefillah itself, for sure you can't answer to Kaddish and Kedusha. However, Tosfos does say that someone that's davening on his own, and the Shleich Tzibur reaches Maidim, in other words, he has a long Shemayna Esrei, and he's already, it's the middle of the Shleich Tzibur, and he's saying Maidim, he should bow for Maidim, but he shouldn't say the words Maidim, because it's going to be Hefsik. However, Tosfos says this is necessarily only if he's in the middle of a bracha. But if he's at the end of the bracha, when he's saying himself bracha to Hashem, he shouldn't bow down, because then it would seem like he's kneeling because of the bracha that he's saying. And the Gemara in Daf Lamed Daled will tell us that you shouldn't kneel by any bracha, only by those that the chum were masakin. And therefore, since it's going to seem like that, there you don't bow down. However, Tosfos says that Rabbi Natan was ragel, and his custom was that he would wait by the words Oisef Fela, which was before Shemayna Esrei, to answer Kaddish and Kedusha with the Tzibur, because his Shemayna Esrei would go so long, possibly, that he would miss it, so therefore he would wait beforehand. And obviously Tosfos says that he held that even if he waited so long till to start his Shemayna Esrei, that he could have finished the whole Kriyat Shema and all the Birchas Kriyat Shema again, that he held like that sheet that holds you don't have to go back to the beginning. And although it's such a long hefsek that he waited till everyone finished Shemayna Esrei and the shots to start Kaddish and Kedusha, still he would still wait, and he was able to answer, and then he was able to say his own Shemayna Esrei.